Isn't Jesus wonderful? Amen and amen and amen. I was just doing a little check, and we got a lot more than that, but you know, it's hard to get all the statistics, but we've got 3,252 churches that are pastored by Rhema grads. Amen. That's pretty good. There's a whole lot more than that, but that's what we've got. Because some of our Rhema grads are pastoring in denominations, and we don't. They're counted over there in that group. So praise the Lord. You know, Easter is a big celebration, and everybody celebrates Easter. And then sometimes after that, somebody asks, what's next? Well, Jesus said what will be next in Matthew 16:18. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Since the resurrection of Christ, God has been focusing on building the church. In fact, that's what started right after the resurrection, was the building of the church. Now, when you hear the church and you hear the body of Christ, they're interchangeable terms. They mean the same thing. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll hear both of those. Now, I talked about the church last week. Now I'm going to talk about discovering your place in the church. Ephesians 4:11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. See, there's both of them together. This will continue until we come to the unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be matured in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies or lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other part to grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Now, I want you to notice, Paul starts out here talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. Next, he talks about the gifts working in the church, the body of Christ, and why they are needed. And he talks about them functioning, every member functioning. And then he brings it all together in the last clause of that 16th verse when he says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each does his own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that, and here it is, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. This describes what each of us should be doing and how we should be functioning in the church. Notice it says the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. But it's only when everyone is in their place in the body or the church, functioning in their full capacity. A lot of people are looking for their place in the body of Christ or the church. And some of them, you know, they want to be up front, but they don't want to be on the traffic team or helping with the kids. And I did see three up there. I trust we got all the workers we need. You know, it seemed like on a football team. Let's go just use your football team. Everybody wants to be the quarterback because he's the one that gets all the attention, or the running back, or wide receiver. But I want to tell you what, not everybody is equipped physically, mentally, to operate in those capacities. And it's important that we understand that in the body of Christ, the church, we're not all equipped to function in up here behind a pulpit or singing or something else. But he places each one so in their place so the body can be healthy and growing and full of love. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. This is a very important message today. If more people would get a hold of this, I think the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be functioning more properly, maybe I should say. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And remember, the body of Christ and the church are interchangeable terms. We see that in many parts of the scripture. It says body of Christ and the church, or the church. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. The foot says, I'm not a part of the If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that not make it less a part of the body? And if ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The body of Christ is made up of many different people capable of doing various jobs and various things. Some are paid employees. Some are volunteer ministry of helps. Some have leadership ability. Some are part of a team. Some have just come into the body of Christ. And some have been in the church a long time. Every person in the body of Christ has various strengths, giftings, and talents. God has designed each of us with our strengths, with our talents, with our giftings, so that we can function together properly as the body of Christ. I mean, Paul uses the human body here. And we realize that the human body is designed so that it operates perfectly. The brain is the head that controls the body and gives the direction to the other members. In the same way, Christ is the head of the church, and he directs every member in the body where they should be and what they should be doing. Each person is important. Each member of your body is important. The thumb is important. Because without a thumb, it's very hard to pick up something. But with the thumb, how many of you ever noticed you use your thumb a lot? Come on. But nobody ever thinks about it. There are many parts of the body. And we have to realize that each part of the body, the human body, is valuable. And it is the same with the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every position is important. Some are more visible than others. And some people say, well, they're not as important. I'm not as important as so-and-so because I work behind the scenes and they're on the stage. That's wrong. There is no more value placed on somebody that's on the platform than it is on one of the ushers, or it is on one of our traffic team, or one of our children's workers, or one of our workers that is out at the north lobby, at the desk out there. Hello now, come on. Don't sit down on me when I'm preaching good. There is no more value on me as standing here as the minister than it is for those that are there that nobody sees working with the kids. They're as valuable. The people up there right behind that screen is the video room. There's people there that are controlling everything so that it can go out on the airways. They are just as valuable, although nobody ever sees them, as I am. Come on. See, we must value others who are different from us, who can do different things, because they are gifted in that area and we're not. It takes all of us to accomplish and keep the body of Christ or the church going. You see, many people, they seem to want to put more value on one position than they do the other. Can you put any more valuable on one part of your body than the other? No, because they all are needed in their place and they are valuable. I thank God every day that I have all of my body parts and that I'm working and I'm operating perfectly. And you need to too. And I pray ever so often, Lord, help everybody in the body of Christ to get in their position. They're important. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're important in the church, the body of Christ. You see, we need to learn which part we are, where our gifts and our talents are, and focus on that and began to function there. You know, it takes various people with various abilities to make the church go, the body of Christ. You know, imagine trying to function with your arms coming out of the side of your head. Are your ears fastened to your elbows? Now, we laugh about that because it is sort of ridiculous. but we need to realize that each part is where it's supposed to be to do what it's supposed to do. And in the body of Christ, we have the same thing. That's why Paul used the human body as an example of how the church is supposed to operate. If you don't think your little toe is important, you never think about it. Go stumbling through the house in the dark of the night and jam that little toe against a table or a chair, and you'll find out that little toe is important. Especially when you break it and now you are trying to get a shoe on and you're trying to go and do your job. I've been there, done that. You know, I got up one night, it's years ago, and I was going in the kitchen to get a drink, and I had forgot that she had rearranged the furniture and I didn't turn no lights on. Guess what happened? Bam! Ah! It hurts. You see, when one part of the body hurts, it hinders the whole body. When one part of the body is not functioning properly, it hinders the whole body from accomplishing what it needs to accomplish. You know, if people in the body would quit trying to place values on each position and just begin to think of each part as valuable and functioning in their position. Now you see, the enemy wants to disrupt the body. And so the enemy begins to tell people, well, you're not important. You can't sing and preach, so you're not worth much. Well, I can preach, but you sure don't want me to sing. Hello. And some people can sing, but they don't preach. Other people do other things. You have giftings and talents, and you need to develop those and function where you can function best. When you are on a job, people are put in positions because they have the gifts and the talents to function in that position. You don't want to put me in the accounting department. 2 plus 2 is 5. Hello? I'm not gifted in that area at all. Miss Lynette is. But you don't want to put her in charge of giving directions of how to get to somewhere. Now I'm using me and her because I don't want to talk about you. She is not gifted with directions. We will be in a hotel, and every time we come out of the room, if you're supposed to go right to the elevator, she'll go left every time. And sometimes, just for fun, I'll turn and go this way, and then I'll turn around and I say, where are you going? Oh, and she'll come back. You see, people have gifts and talents. Some people are gifted and talented to be entrepreneurs. Some people are gifted and talented to be business people in the church so that they have more money to help support the church than somebody else does. But just because you're not in that position doesn't make you any more important than somebody in that position. See, if we begin to understand that every member of the body of Christ is important and has a position and a part to play, when you do that, it makes everything function properly. You see, sometimes people, they want to be something they're not. And then sometimes people don't recognize how important a position is. And I've used this illustration before, but we're playing football and we have our running back. He's always, man, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how many yards I'm gaining every game. So they centered the ball and handed it off to him, and everybody in the line just laid down. Nobody blocked nobody. Guess what? He lost yardage. He found out how important those guys were up in front of him. Because without them, he's not making anything. See, we need to begin to understand that as a church, as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we're staying in our place, functioning in our place, and the body of Christ, the church, is growing and healthy and full of love. See, Romans 12:4-8, and I've already been on this, but I'll go back over it. Just as our body has many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. In the grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much as faith in God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it's given, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I want you to notice here, this is talking about everybody. He mentions all kinds of different things here. Paul does. You know, these giftings are deposits from God within each of us to function in the body of Christ. There are some people that have no problem talking in front of a group. And there are others that do. So they need to find another place to function. Now, people don't like to hear that because everybody wants to be up here. Fine. I tell you what. If God will let you, I'll trade places with you and you can do it. Hello? You know, I think I preached 150 some odd times last year. That's a lot of sermons to get together. Hello? See, some people think just because you're up here that it's easy and that all you do is get up here and preach and teach. You don't see the times that you spend looking up different translations, looking up different historical facts, looking up illustrations, praying and asking God to give you, you got a thought, and you got some thoughts, and now you're trying to put them all together, and then you try to deliver them so they come out in a fashion so people can understand what you're saying. Thank God I had a little gifting in that area. I found that out when I was in school in plays and speeches and stuff. I didn't have any problem with it at all. I mean, we freshman year in college, we were taking speech, walked in the classroom. As we was walking in, the professor, he had just pointed certain ones and he pointed to me and said, "Hagen, 5-minute extemporaneous speech, and you're first." Soon as the roll's taken, guess what? I got to get up in front of the class and I got to give a speech for 5 minutes unprepared. Well, thank God I had a gift and got the gift of gab. So I looked out the window and I saw a big old cumulus puffy cotton ball cumulus cloud. And I remembered Miss Hargrave and our 8th grade science class, and we learned about clouds. And so I took off talking about the clouds and how that some of them look like cotton balls. And then that cotton ball can turn into a cumulonimbus cloud, which produces severe weather and hail and so forth. And I just kept going, and you know, I was going, and the teacher said, "Time's up. Good job." I sat down and my buddy said, "Hagen, how do you do that?" He said, I can't do that. I said, I don't know. I just start talking and it just rolls out. But you see, that's a gifting. I have noticed in all of my years in the church that God usually uses people where they have natural talents and natural abilities in the church. Because that's what I mean, you don't want somebody, you don't want me get back there and try to play the keyboard. I wouldn't know. I mean, I'd be just hitting keys. I don't know. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't have no melody at all. Come on. You know, people are gifted because they have been given different gifts. I can go to the hospital and visit, but I'm not really gifted at it. I'm not good at it. I mean, one time, one person, my wife, she laughs about this all the time. One time, a person said, Pastor, you're busy. You got other things to do. Why don't you just go on? But Pastor Bill, he can go and visit. And he's just gifted in that way. Me, I'm fidgeting. Lord bless you. I'm praying for you. Praise the Lord. I don't mean that wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you the same way I am. That's not your gifting. So find out. That's his gifting, man. There's no better path. I tell people, in fact, I just told some ministers this week. There is no one any better gifted to be a pastoral care pastor than Pastor Bill sitting right there. Now that doesn't take anything away from Pastor Craig or Pastor Denise or the other Pastor Ted or the other pastors or me, because if a staff is going to work properly, then all of us don't have to have, we don't need the same gift. I tell young pastors all the time, don't hire people to be on your staff that has the same gift you got. You need people that have giftings in the area that you're not strong in. And then when all of us work together in our gifting, we make a pretty good pastoral team. Hello? Have y'all found out we got a pretty good pastoral team around here? You see, just because I'm the senior or the head of the pastoral team doesn't make me any more important than them. The only thing I have to do is to make sure that we're all operating with the same vision, with the same purpose. And we have to do that as a staff talking to you. We all have to be operating with the same vision, the same purpose, in order for the church to function properly and be growing and functioning in love. Come on. Anybody getting anything out of this today? You see, we need to view ourselves realistically and realize that we, even though we might want to do something else, we can't function properly there because we're not gifted in that area. You know, sometimes I've heard people saying, you know, I've been in this all my life, been in church. A missionary comes and he starts sharing passionately all the things that he's doing all over the world. And, you know, and it begins to tug at your heart. And then people start saying, well, I'm not doing nothing. The truth is, he's doing what he's supposed to do. You're doing what you're supposed to do. So that makes it all work. Each one of us needs to focus on what God has placed within us and realize that there's a person on our right and a person on our left that is functioning in their gifts. And as we have functioned in our gifts that we have, and where we have been assigned to function in the church, then it makes the church operate properly. See, quit determining your value by comparing yourself with somebody else. Because they can't do what you can do and you can't do what they can do, but if together you can get it done. You see, determining your value by comparing yourself to another person will be like the ear deciding it wasn't much because it can't smell. Hey, anybody ever realize how important the ear is? It has a function. Not only just with what's inside here, the eardrum, but this outside portion has a function to capture the sounds and let them go inside the ear and vibrate off of the eardrum, blah, blah, blah. I'm not really into medicine, but that's what they say anyway. We have to develop a great appreciation for each gift. Any of you ever watch Miss Amy up here directing this choir? You know, I wouldn't be very good at directing a choir. But you ever notice she has the proper signals and come on, you come out. You know, she's trying to get this group over here because that may be where the altos are, the sopranos are, and she wants them to come up so she'll do this. Anybody ever notice that? See, she's gifted in that area. I can't play one of them guitars back there, and neither can most of you. What would the music on this stage sound like if all of us decided we're going to be the musical people? And we have no gifts in that area whatsoever. It'd be chaos. See, we need to get a hold of the fact that God is building his church, his body, with the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of it. And you know, I think I might can establish what I'm trying to say. If you remember the story of the talents in Matthew 25, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, entrusted his money to them. While he was gone, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last. Now, here's the important part. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And he left on a long trip. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. You can. But I want you to notice that he gave to them according to their abilities. God puts you in different places according to your abilities. Later, we see that he comes back and he hands out rewards. But everyone got the same reward. The two that did something. The one that didn't do anything with what he was given, he got kicked out. Read it. Anybody ever read it? Isn't that what it said? But the one guy had the 5, he increased his. The one guy had the 2, he increased his. But when the reward was given, they both got the same reward. See, so it doesn't make any difference what you're doing. When it's all said and done, the important part is going to be, and God is going to judge, and the Jesus Christ, the head of the Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't have time to get into that, but we all understand that. He is going to judge you on what you did with your gifting in the church. Like that guy that bothers, and that's what that parable's about, is illustrating. We all need to do what we can do with our gifts and our talents, and that's how we're going to be rewarded when it's all said and done. You know, if you can't sing, you can't sing. You know, one person wanted to be singing. They went and tried to sing, take voice lessons. And the instructor said, "I'm sorry, but you have no ear to hear music. Go do something else." "Oh, I want to sing." "No." "Okay, go sing to the cows." Each person must listen to God and find their place and stay there. You know, when I was running track, I'm running the 220-yard dash. That's back in the 50s. It was yards back then. How many of y'all remember when it was yards? Now it's meters. I don't know. I don't even understand the meters, but anyway. We would go there, and they would assign you a lane. You didn't pick it. They assigned it to you. Right? Now, when you were running that race, that was your lane. You stay in it. Don't you step over here in this guy's lane. Don't impede him. You got your position. You stay there. You keep your eyes focused on the finish line. Do what you're supposed to do. And you forget about everybody else. The coach will tell you the cardinal rule for a track runner is if he looks this way or this way, no, he's focused on where he's going and he stays in his lane so he don't get disqualified. If any of you watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday, the horse that won was disqualified because he impeded two other horses by bumping against them. He should have stayed where he was, but when he went around that corner, he drifted out, bumped into him. He won the race, but he disqualified himself. You may excel, but if you're not in the lane where you're supposed to be, then you disqualify yourself. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9:23-27. He said, "I discipline my body like an athlete," the last 27th verse, "to do what it should do. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." He starts out talking about running the race. When I accepted the call to go into ministry, when I was 17 at Old Oak Ranch Youth Camp, I've stayed in that lane. I'm still in that lane. And I'll stay in that lane until I leave this world. Somebody said, "You're going to retire?" No, I ain't going to retire. I might pull back a little bit, but I'm not going to retire. I've got a job to do. I've got gifts and talents that God's given me, and I'm going to keep doing them till I leave this place. All of us, it needs to realize we got our gifts and our talents. We get in the church. We get where we're supposed to be. We identify what we can do, what we can't do. We don't compare ourselves with anybody else. We don't get distracted by them. You see, when I was running track, I couldn't be concerned about what this guy over here was doing or what this guy over here was doing. I had to be concerned about me and staying in my lane and accomplishing what I could do and run to the best of my ability. I can't run to the best of my ability if I'm trying to figure out this, what this guy over here is doing or what this guy over here is doing. I have to be focused on me. We've got to be focused on each other, realizing that all of us have a part to play, and each member of the body stays in their lane and don't disqualify themselves. Then it all comes back into focus as we come together and we begin to say, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Let's learn to appreciate one another. Let's learn to value one another. Let's focus on being in our place, doing what we can do with our talents and our gifts, and being a blessing to the church. Hello there. You see, sometimes people think, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. No, you can't. But you can do this. And it all comes back to when we all function properly in our place. We're growing, we're healthy, and we're walking in love. When we do that, we'll be bringing others in to the body of Christ. And that's the ultimate goal in the first place, is to bring in everybody we can into the body of Christ. But it happens when we all function in our place doing what we're supposed to do. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for just a few moments today, trying to get them to realize that each of us have a job to do. Each of us have a position that we're to function in with our gifts and our talents. And I pray, Father, that the words that I've said today would have found lodgment in hearts, and the people would get out of their head, this position is more important than that position, and realizing that all of our positions are important and that we all have to function in our position so that the body functions properly. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you can't function because you're not in the body. We want you to get in the body. Or if you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you're just not where you need to be today, you need to rededicate your life. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand anywhere in the building. Anybody, anywhere in the building, let me see your hand. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, I don't see any hands, but if there be one person in this place today that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, may they not be able to do anything until they stop and begin to accept Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.